This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold Golden and Gregory.
Welcome to Energy Matters, a show about how you can save money on your utility bills, use technology wisely, and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Here's your host, veteran energy regulator and clean energy expert, Commissioner Tim Echols.
Thank you, Scott Slade. It's always great to be saving money on that power bill, using technology wisely, and living a more sustainable life. Hey, it's Tim Echols, your host here in Perry, Georgia. Ever been to Perry, Georgia? Going down I-75, maybe heading to Valdosta or Disney World, here with the mayor, Randall Walker. Welcome to Energy Matters, sir.
Glad to be here with you, Tim.
Also with me, a guy who loves Perry, spent a lot of time here, Joe Brownlee, the Southwest Region Executive, based out of Valdosta now. Joe, welcome to the show.
Great to be here with two of my friends.
Mayor, this is the 200th anniversary of Perry, and I didn't know who the town was named after. Tell us a little bit about your namesake.
Well, it's Oliver Hazard Perry. He was a hero from the War of 1812. We were named Wattsville prior to that, and at that point in time, when we named it, was 1824. We had been a city or a community for 2 years. We were formed in 1822, but was officially made a city or a municipality here in the state of Georgia by the legislature on December the 9th of 1824.
And Joe, how did you wind up here in Perry? Because you love this city.
I do. I was based in the Atlanta area for a while. A gentleman named Neil Reardon was here in Perry, been a fixture in Perry for years, and he retired. And the opening came, and I was told many times, put in for that job. That's a great opportunity in Perry. Middle of the state, a lot of good people trying to do good things, and they were absolutely right. I was here from 2012 until early 2012 until late 2017. Six of the best years of my life.
Mayor, too many of our towns that are adjacent to interstates don't get the kind of attention that they should. People drive through it, they see the exit, they see a Chick-fil-A, they stop and get gas, maybe they stay in a hotel, but they never venture to the city itself. There's really a lot to behold here in Perry.
Yes, there is, and we try desperately to draw people into our downtown area. We think that's really essential for our long-term viability, is to show them our downtown or traditional southern downtown, which I would classify downtown Perry as.
Joe, there's a lot of industry in Middle Georgia, a lot of agriculture in Middle Georgia and South Georgia, but how important is industry to Perry, the factories they have here, the jobs they provide, the paper mills, graphic packaging? How important is that?
Well, it creates a tax base for one thing, and also the kind of jobs that you can live the American dream on. You can have a home, raise a family, buy a car every 5-6 years, and take a vacation. Just the basic American dream that exists here in Perry, Georgia. One reason it exists here in Perry is their planning. None of this happened by chance here. The city took on a long-range plan and actually received awards for their planning efforts. They did that probably before I got here, 2010 or so, and they did some short-term planning, but long-range planning, and they stuck to their guns. They never backed off of it, and it's now paying the dividends of the hard work.
Mayor, you're now president of the Georgia Municipal Association, and what Joe's talking about with his planning, I know I've been to your meetings. I know that it's something that's very important to GMA and helping these new officials come in when there's a new councilman, a new mayor, new staff, to really put planning into a top priority. I know I live in Houston, and Brazelton is a sister city, and you know, we have so many festivals, so many different events. I mean, you want to have a community where people want to come.
That's exactly right, and that was one of the things that we recognized early on, was that this had to be a destination. We had to do things that made it fun for people to be here and want to come back, and we do that through our international festival. We do it through our buzzer drop at New Year's Eve. We have something going on every month to make it entertaining to come to downtown Perry.
Joe, this has been a powerful area of our state. Sonny Perdue, just from Bon Air, just around the corner. Former Representative Larry Walker, the majority leader, the real muscle behind getting the fairgrounds here. His son now in the state Senate. It's been a very important part of the state.
Yeah, there was also a gentleman named Sam Nunn who was really the voice of the Defense Committee in Washington for years, which that was important with Robins Air Force Bay being right up the road. Perry is blessed. There's something, you know, a little joke, there's something in the water and something in the Methodist Church. People just step in and take on a civic leadership role, and I believe that's accurate. And then you got people like our mayor here who finished a career but came home to make where he grew up a little better place. He and his wife, Terry. I would be remiss if I didn't miss Terry or mention Terry, because she loves this city as much as anybody I've ever known.
Mayor, we just had a nice lunch downtown, beautiful downtown and City Hall. What's in store for the city as you all continue this planning, as you continue to have a vision for Perry?
Well, we're going to continue growing in a managed form of growth. That's one of the things our citizens are concerned about, is that our growth be managed and we don't lose the quality of life that Joe had just described. And we're doing that through a continuation of our planning process. We're very deliberate about our zoning policies. We're very deliberate about where we place industry and what type of industry comes to Perry. And so we will continue to do that as long as I'm mayor anyway.
If you're just joining us, he's Randall Walker, Mayor Randall Walker, the mayor of Perry, Georgia, in Middle Georgia, and Joe Brownlee with Georgia Power. He's a Southwest Region executive based out of Valdosta. Joe, industry and hyperscale data centers, crypto mining, ChatGPT, Hyundai, Rivian, there's so many businesses coming to Georgia. Why are they coming here?
Well, apparently, again, we get back to planning. The state of Georgia has done a good job of creating an atmosphere where business can thrive, infrastructure is supported, and really raising Georgia. We don't want the $12 an hour, the $9 to $12 an hour jobs anymore. We want the $20 to $40 an hour jobs where people can really live the American dream. And that's prevalent through, I think our governor's done a wonderful job of sticking to his guns over his two terms. Georgia is really thriving, and places like Perry here, it's a big enough town where you have all the things you want to do, but it's a small enough town where it's much like the old TV show Friends, where a place where everybody knows your name. It's the best of both worlds, big enough and small enough, and they're going to hold on to that and keep building on it. One thing I do notice is they don't rest on their laurels. They keep pursuing the next level of quality of life. When I left here in 17, I thought it was the quaintest little village in Georgia, and I rode through here this morning, and they've done so much in those years since I left. I'm a little jealous that I wasn't a part of that. They're thriving, so maybe it can be replicated other places. And I will say that they got a local guy here, Scott Cox with Georgia Power, who I know tries to help in any way he can.
Mayor, how important is that fairgrounds out there? You know, you got the Georgia National Fair, I guess, that comes here in the fall. But it seems like every time I ride by here, I see RVs out there. I see horse trailers out there. It just seems like that it's a great resource.
It's extremely important to the city of Perry because, like you say, everybody thinks the Georgia National Fairgrounds, they think about the week in October or the 10 days that we have the Georgia National Fair. Now, we will attract 500,000 people during that 10-day period. But keep in mind, we also attract throughout the year an additional 500,000 to 600,000 people for everything from cutting horse shows to various animal shows, coin shows. It's amazing what goes on out there every weekend of the year.
Joe, I was just up I-75 almost to Cincinnati. My daughter and I went up to the Creation Museum and the Noah's Ark up there. It's on I-75, so just straight all the way back down here. But I-75 comes through the mayor's community and it comes through your community. How important is that corridor to economic development?
I think it's the 2024 Mississippi River, what really developed the middle of this country and the industrial north Midwest. I-75, everything, the commerce that it generates is vital to this community. Houston County, correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor, I think they've Perry alone, I think, has four exits off of I-75, where others stop, fill up with gas, eat, come downtown and shop, and they leave their dollars and go on about their merry way. So I-75 is critical to the infrastructure here.
Just another minute in the segment. Mayor, you heard Joe reference the exits. Do y'all have four exits here?
That's correct. We do have four exits here. We've had a new one added south of town, and so at the fairgrounds to support that.
Yeah, and you've got other businesses here, Graphic Packaging, Sandler, some other companies.
Yeah, Jack Links is building a brand new facility here for their beef jerky production that will go through the port of Savannah. It'll be going worldwide out of this production facility. We also have a very large lumber mill here that most people forget about because it's right in our downtown area, but they've been expanding over the last 10 years at a very quick rate.
Well, how can folks find out about the city of Perry?
They can go to our website, which is www.perryga.gov. So we would love for them to find out about that. And, you know, Perry is where Georgia comes together.
And Joe, how can folks find out more about Georgia Power?
GeorgiaPower.com. There are tips on how to conserve energy, how to save energy, how to reduce your bill, and anything else, how to manage it or how to find out any information you need.
Well, there you have it. Tim Echol from Perry, Georgia, with the mayor today. Thank you so much, guys, for being on. Stick around. Another segment coming up. You're listening to Energy Matters. Hey, Tim Echols here for GEM Car Wraps, GEM Car Wraps, this fantastic group out of Brunswick that do wraps on vehicles, jet skis, golf carts. They've got it on my vehicles, so check it out, GEM Car Wraps on Facebook.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit, and the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Logan Booker, producer of Energy Matters, here for Better Tomorrow Solar. Imagine a world powered by sunlight. Imagine your home powered by sunlight. Better Tomorrow Solar has a passion for helping you see this for yourself. Better Tomorrow Solar can install your solar panels at no upfront cost. Build equity in your own home rather than paying the utility company. Find out more at BetterTomorrowSolar.com. That's BetterTomorrowSolar.com and see how you can make your world better.
This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold, Golden, and Gregory, an AmLaw 200 law firm with 180 attorneys in Atlanta and Washington, D.C. They take a business sensibility approach when advising clients. They provide industry knowledge, attention to detail, transparency, and value to help businesses and individuals achieve their definition of success. AGG subscribes to the belief not if, but how. We thank John Gornall and all the attorneys and staff at AGG for sponsoring our show. Hey, Tim Echols back on Energy Matters, just a little ways from Perry, over in Roberta, Georgia, Fort Valley, with Mr. and Dr. Kelly. Dr. Kelly's a veterinarian. Mr. Kelly does a lot of very cool stuff. Welcome to Energy Matters. Let me first say hello to you, Dr. Kelly.
Hello. Glad to meet you.
Well, Dr. Kelly, you're a veterinarian. You guys have horses here. You've actually got your fingers in a lot of different things. I'm here today because of this house that you've built into the earth. And so let's start with that. Before you guys moved to California, way back in the day, you know, Mr. Kelly, you kind of had a vision to do something like this, right? Tell me about how you first read about this. Was this in a magazine, or where did you conceive of the idea?
I think we got it from several different places. We didn't have it
nail down exactly what we wanted. So we hired a company in Atlanta to do the architectural side of it, do all the drawings and everything.
Dr. Kelly, when y'all moved to California, you did have the solar thermal on your house, and California was way ahead, of course, of Georgia at the time. There was a lot of passive solar out there. What did you learn from your time in California?
To be honest, nothing. Nothing. I wasn't really interested in all of this. This is basically my husband's little project, and he had to convince me to get into it. I knew it was going to be a lot of money. Finding people to do it was going to be a problem. So if you want to know the background, you need to ask him, because I really didn't care until we actually started building it.
Mr. Kelly, let's talk about this house. I'm going to put some pictures on the website, but this house has poured concrete walls in a single pour, which is exactly how we did Plant Vogel, by the way. It was just a whole lot of concrete, enough concrete to run a sidewalk from Georgia to Seattle. That's how much concrete's at Plant Vogel. But so you did this design, and then you did this continuous pour. How much concrete and how much rebar is in this house?
There's 11,000 pounds of rebar. We had concrete trucks just coming down the driveway one after another, and it pumped all day long. We had a big, like a semi-trailer type pump that reached all the way out over the house into the back and pumped all the way around until the whole thing was filled up.
Dr. Kelly, as you were building this, I'm sure that you haven't told me even before this interview, but I'm sure that there were some things that you really wanted in a house that you, I guess, negotiated with your husband. What were some of those things?
You know, wife, you don't negotiate. You just say what you want. Come on. Make mama happy or nobody's happy. I wanted the open concept. We've lived in houses where you have those little rooms, a little formal living room and all this, and we don't live that way. We wanted to be open. We wanted a comfortable house where anybody could feel comfortable coming in. I didn't want to worry about people worrying about their shoes. Just come in and be happy. So we've got an open concept. We wanted a pool, and the designer put in it, built or designed the house so that no matter what room we had, it would face the pool. Unfortunately, we never built the pool, but it's very open, as you can see standing here. We've got lots of windows. It's like we're out in the woods.
Mr. Kelly, you built a special fireplace here, and I was telling you, my dad and granddad both had a similar concept. They had a basement, and they had their fire room downstairs. Tell me about the fireplace and what the original concept was.
This is pretty much what the original concept was. We wanted a fireplace that drew the combustion air from outside and had fans that would circulate behind the fireplace and exhaust at the top there. And that's pretty much what we wanted. And it's what we got. The only problem we had, the fan quit, and we couldn't get a replacement for it. So we ended up having to put some extra fans in outside the furnace, which was a pain in the neck, but it works.
Dr. Kelly, you work upstairs, you design stained glass, and you look out on your farm from there. I know that's probably your favorite place in the house.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about the stained glass work that you do.
When we built the house, I wanted stained glass doors, and I'm cheap. I didn't want to pay the price that they wanted to do, so I learned how to do it, and I did stained glass doors. I then took a break and become a veterinarian, and I'm just getting back to it now. I do panels. You can see one of my panels over there. I like to be creative and do windows. The windows going up the stairway. This house was designed for stained glass. You can see a big opening over there. That's for stained glass. The windows going up the staircase were for stained glass. Our bathroom has been stained glass. You can see the octagon windows have got my stained glass. It was made for me to do my hobby.
Mr. Kelly, you have, I'm trying to describe to our listeners, you know, what this house looks like, but the back of the house, you can literally walk onto the roof because it's kind of built in right to a hill, right?
Right.
And how difficult was doing that?
Yeah, it wasn't difficult. It was it took a long time because we had to excavate the hill and move that dirt way over there, and then just built the house into the hill. The top of the dirt was already up there, and we just had to fill in the space between the back wall of the house and the existing dirt. And that was that. We had plenty of dirt to do it with. So,
what intrigued you, or drove you to want to have this house? Obviously, it reduces the energy consumption. Was it just the challenge of doing it, or were you actually trying to save money?
We wanted to have use the fact that below about 5 feet in Georgia, the temperature stays about 55 degrees year-round, and that's what we wanted. We didn't want, you know, 120 degrees in the winter, in the summer, and 20 degrees in the winter. 55 degrees is nice all year long.
Dr. Kelly, you have horses here and other animals. You guys are out here. You got your family up on top of the hill. You know, this is an unusual house in Georgia. How do you describe your house to people that you meet, people in town, people at church, people at conferences, people in the vet office? How do you describe this house?
Well, I basically tell them it's an earth-sheltered house, and I basically say three sites are underground, and then it tends to stop. They're not really, not too many people know about it or the efficiency of it. They've got their house and their normal electricity. I don't think they realize how much they can save. I mean, with our solar on the back and what we have in this house, the electric company is paying us money. We're not paying them money.
Some months,
yeah, but the majority of months. We're getting old. We don't want to pay the high electricity bills. We don't want to. We're on well. We want to be sort of self-sufficient, not put all our money into paying somebody else to do something. So with the fireplace, it heats our house. The house stays cool in the summer. We've got the generators. If we run out of power and it provides all the electricity for the house, we never know when the power comes back on.
Mr. Kelly, speaking of the generators, you buy old generators, you fix them up, you take them to folks, and you've got your house wired where you can plug the generator in and you can run virtually every circuit on that generator. Is that right? How does that work?
It's a rated 10 kW, but it actually puts out about 12.5, and that runs everything in here.
And you put the solar on your house a year or so ago. What drove you to do that?
It just sounded like a really good idea, and it was going to cut down our electric bill. And some months Flint pays us, and other months we pay them. So it works out. The one thing that we didn't get that we wanted in this house, we wanted concrete roof. And the companies that made the concrete planks quit making them. So we ended up with a pretty conventional roof on the house, which wasn't what we wanted, but that's what we had to live with.
Dr. Kelly, if you had it to do over again, would there be anything that you would do different about building this house?
I'd watch the contractors a lot closer. yeah, because what we had is we had an architect up there to design the house, but then they sent down people down here to build it, and they'd never built an earth-sheltered home before. And so there were a lot of things that they didn't think about, and so we ran into a lot of problems. Then we also had a contractor who didn't pay the bills, and we had a problem with that too. I would probably have had a closer hand on all of that.
And how about you, Mr. Kelly? Is there anything you would do different in building another one?
Yes. I would carefully specify exactly what we wanted in terms of doors. We had to replace that door for about $4,500. We had to replace those doors for a few hundred dollars. We've had to replace windows. All kinds of things. We had to replace the roof of $37,000 to put a new roof on it because they used cheap crap to build the roof.
Wow. And there you have it. Building first-of-a-kind projects, and I know all too well, is a difficult thing. Thank you so much for entertaining me in your home today and sharing with me about this really neat concept. There's probably not 10 of these in the state of Georgia, so congratulations for the great work.
Thank you very much.
And you too, Mr. Kelly.
Thank you.
Hey, Tim Eccles from Fort Valley, Georgia. Stick around, another segment coming up in just a minute. You're listening to Energy Matters.
Everyone has tough times in their life. By checking the project share box at the bottom of your utility bill, you can make life a little easier for your neighbors. Your $1, $2, or $5 checkoff is matched by the utility and then used by the Salvation Army to help folks having a tough time paying their energy bills. It's that easy. Join PSC Commissioner Tim Eccles and many others by donating via your power bills this year. See more by clicking projectshareinfo.com. And thank you.
Tim Eccles, host of Energy Matters, here with Jeff Pratt of Green Power EMC. Jeff, more and more EMCs are offering solar to their members, and you're seeing it grow like crazy across rural Georgia.
Tim, you're right. Co-ops in Georgia are doing a great job of deploying solar across the state. In fact, they're leaders in the country with respect to engaging customers and deploying large-scale solar to benefit all their members.
Hey, contact your EMC and ask them about their solar energy policy, or just Google Green Power EMC.
You've heard about Gem Cars on Energy Matters. Made by Polaris in Anaheim, California, these street-legal, small electric vehicles go where golf carts are not allowed. Equipped with seatbelts, headlights, optional doors, and a tag, Gem Cars and Trucks are perfect for shuttles, corporate, or college campus use. In fact, Georgia Tech has over 100 of them. The new generation Gems have many options when selecting the battery type, onboard chargers, and enclosures to suit the climate. Go to GemCarService.com to find out more. That's GEMCarService.com.
Marlin Gas Services, a subsidiary of Chesapeake Utilities Corporation, is your leader in mobile pipeline solutions for hold, peak, and backup services to meet utilities' demand schedules, and their experts in CNG and RNG transportation and logistics solutions. No pipeline, no problem. Marlin Gas Services can provide uninterrupted natural gas service for short or long-term projects, no matter the location. Learn more about how we can support your mobile natural gas needs at marlingas.com/energymatters. That's marlingas.com/energymatters.
Hello, island friends. Let me tell you about Tim Eccles. Mr. Tim loves Georgia and helped keep our rates low. He knows everything about energy and has led by example. I hope you listen to his radio show called Energy Matters. Join me in supporting Tim.
Hey, Tim Eccles back on Energy Matters with my friend Viral. We met on Twitter. You know, a lot of people question the value of social media, and you certainly can understand, you know, all the junk that goes on out there. But you and I met on social media as a result of a podcast I did. You reached out to me, and here we've had breakfast today, and now you're on my podcast. How cool is that?
It's very cool. You know, I think the value of social media is what you get out of it, I think, or what you look for, or what you look into it. Because the Bitcoin industry, the finance industry, the real estate industry, whatever your niche is or whatever your interests are, if you're focused on that instead of all the negatives that social media likes to give to you, if you're searching for something that's actually productive, whether you're learning something new or, you know, just catching up on sports, et cetera, I think, you know, it has a lot of value. You just got to know where to find it on social media.
Well, the thing about social media, it requires data centers, and data centers use power, and we have a bunch of data centers, you know, in Georgia, and we have hyperscale data centers that want to come into various states, and some of them are being turned away because of the tremendous electrical load. If you think about data centers, and if you think about crypto mining, which you're involved in, these are heavy energy users because these computers are running all the time, right?
Yep, they are. I mean, you know, a typical data center, it consumes anywhere from 100, 200, 300, 400 megawatts of electricity. which sounds like a small number, but it's not by any means.
In a crypto mining facility, the one I saw consumed about 80 megawatts of power. But I guess the thing about crypto, it can be little, it can be big based on, you know, the circumstances, right? The real estate available, the transformer available. Crypto is one of the most flexible loads you can possibly have.
Yeah. So in my opinion, I don't really see the value in having a single crypto mining site or a Bitcoin mining site that has, let's say, 50 megawatts or 100 megawatts, unless that capacity was already there in the first place and it's just not being used anymore. It's a totally different story. But to build something from ground up to facilitate and provide that kind of load, I think it's a little bit wasteful when throughout the state of Georgia, you have plenty of old industrial sites, mills, manufacturing plants, et cetera, that have existing infrastructure that's no longer being used. That's, again, an investment that was made at some point in time that's no longer being used, that's no longer producing any kind of a return for whether it's for the utility, whether it's for the developer, whether it's for the landlord, the local state, local governments, et cetera. So I think the better way to go about building out in Georgia anyways, instead of building out brand new sites with new capacity, is to go find the sites that have the stranded assets, such as a substation that's been idle or not using to, you know, its full potential, or a manufacturing plant that's got a bunch of, you know, primary transformers that are no longer being used. And I would think Georgia Power's just kind of forgotten about them too, in some places because they are older. Maybe they're not needed anymore at other sites. But again, it's a stranded asset. If it works, why not, you know, re-energize it and start making money on it for Georgia Power's perspective?
Yeah, I think the power company's interested in selling power to anybody, anywhere, you know, if possible, as long as it is not going to impact the rates of everyone else. And I think if we look to the future and all the power that we need, you know, as we have, you know, a lot of data centers, crypto mining, manufacturing coming in, I think our ratepayers have borne a lot of burden, if you will, with building a nuclear plant, upgrading our transmission system, our transformers. And as we grow in the future, I think we just need to make sure that they're not having to carry the load, right? That the new folks that are coming in, we need to have a pricing scheme that will work for the new folks, but yet not impact the other people mm-hmm. on the grid. That's something I think about as a regulator. But let me talk to you about the Texas system, because a lot of mining, and we're talking crypto mining, if you're just joining us, I've got Viral, we're sitting in Gainesville here doing an on-the-road segment. Texas is a deregulated electricity market. Mm-hmm. Our gas system is deregulated here. So we have different marketers selling gas, but really only one company transporting them. And that's the way Texas kind of does their electricity. But you were telling me that so many miners are actually making more money off of arbitraging the energy than they are from the Bitcoins themselves. How does that work?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, ERCOT is a deregulated electric market. And so it's an energy hub, though. Texas has always been that. That's been the driver of the economic life of Texas has always been oil or the energy industry as a whole. And so I think Bitcoin mining coming in and being leveraged as this tool to arbitrage and trade electricity or trade energy, if you will, It's a revolutionary concept in the energy industry. And I think Riot Blockchain, which is one of the biggest ones, is doing it to a scale where it's really starting to catch a lot of the OGs in the energy industry.
Let's give an example of how Riot Blockchain is operating. So they sign a PPA for a certain amount of energy. Mm-hmm. And the way the Texas energy market works is these independent power producers around the state, they bid in every day for power the next day. And if power is going to be expensive, then you know, they may choose to sell into the market. They don't have to, but they may choose. And so what you're telling me is that Riot Blockchain and some others out there, instead of using their energy to mine Bitcoins, they actually make more by just selling it back into the market.
That's correct. Whenever it's more profitable to just not mine and sell their blocks back into the market, they do that.
So in a way, at least in Texas, Bitcoin mining is really linked together with energy production.
Yeah, pretty much. So you have all the excess power that's being generated out in West Texas, or whether it's in South Texas from renewables. They don't have the transmission capacity to get it out to where it's needed in the market the most. So instead of that electricity just going to waste, or that energy just going to waste, miners can come in. And again, as I was mentioning before, they're very versatile. They can set up just about anywhere, as long as there's a power line out there, and the capacity's there. Boom, they're set up, they're mining, and they're creating an ROI on the infrastructure, or on the infrastructure that, you know, the wind farms made, or the solar farms made, or the other natural gas plants made already too. So
if you're just joining us, I'm talking to Viral. We're in Gainesville. He went to Gainesville College before it was UNG, and then on down to Georgia State. He's now very involved with real estate and Bitcoin mining. You know, what if someone in our audience is interested in finding out more about Bitcoin mining? Maybe they've got one of these buildings that has a substation, or you know, a transformer that is, you know, is owned, has been bought and paid for. It's just sitting there idle. How would they get involved with this?
So they could, you know, one thing they could do is they could reach out to me. You can find my information at hodgepodge.tech. That is hodgepadj.tech. Use social media, or, like Twitter, or you could just get on the Google, start looking up, and start doing your research in that field. YouTube's a great place to learn about Bitcoin mining itself, too. That's where I learned a lot about it.
We were talking about a friend of mine who lives on Tybee Island, who has a 25 kW solar system. He has Tesla shingles on his house, more power than he would ever need, even though this is a big house. But you were telling me that that an immersion Bitcoin mining facility in his garage would be a great way to utilize that extra power.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, I don't know what kind of rate he might be in, rate structure, et cetera. But what you could do with solar panels on your roof or on your property, and the excess electricity that's created, is you pretty much use that excess to offset your power cost, which for a residential customer, you know, is going to be closer to 14, 15 cents. You can't mine profitably at that price range, but if you have solar panels that are creating the power that you need and is possibly offsetting your power cost, you could get your power cost down below 6 cents. Oh, no, I wouldn't say 6 cents. Let's say 8 cents. You can mine profitably, and now you have a different way of creating an ROI for your solar investment.
Well, just another minute left with Viral here in Gainesville, a Bitcoin miner, entrepreneur. Your parents are entrepreneurs. They own a store. You grew up working in the store?
I did. Yep. So that's where it all started. It's just being at the store, and just being on the internet during the downtimes, and just my mind races. So, you know, when it's not busy, I'm just on the computer or on my phone nowadays, looking at new things, learning about new things.
Tell us where folks can find you on social media.
You can find me on Twitter on my company's page at Bored Miners. It's B-O-R-E-D Miners, M-I-N-E-R-S. That's the easiest way to reach me, is to DM me on there.
Well, thanks for being on Energy Matters today, and good luck with all your entrepreneurial activities.
I appreciate it, Tim. Thank you so much.
Hey, Tim Eccles from Gainesville, Long Street Cafe. Check out their tenderloin if you ever get up here. Stick around, another segment coming up. You're listening to Energy Matters.
As the Southeast's leading non-utility power provider, Cherry Street Energy energizes businesses like Porsche and Gulfstream in cities like Macon and Atlanta with predictably priced emission-free electricity. We build, own, and operate solar power plants for our partners, allowing them to deliver on sustainability promises with no complexities, upfront costs, or ongoing maintenance. All they get is a power bill. Simple as sunshine. To learn more, contact us at info@cherrystreetenergy.com.
Tim Eccles of Energy Matters here for Solar Sun World. No doubt you've seen solar panels popping up all over the state. If you want the precision of German engineering when it comes to solar, Solar Sun World is for you. Gerd and all the folks at Solar Sun World understand the complexities of solar and how to make it work for you. From tax credits to inverters to accelerated depreciation, they'll advise you on the best path forward. And Solar Sun World now offers power purchase agreements. Find them at solarsunworld.com. Solarsunworld.com.
Hello, Commissioner. I feel like it's very important that I occasionally let you know that I really appreciate the job that you do and your commitment to solar energy and electric vehicles. It really makes me happy, the idea of our wonderful state having more and more solar. Just, it really excites me. I really love the job you're doing. Anyway, thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, Tim Eccles back on Energy Matters. This time down in Middle South Georgia and Soperton, Trutland County here at LanzaJet, which you may have heard about, but we're going to have a chance to talk to Meg Whitty about this. She's the VP of Corporate Relations and Marketing. Welcome to Energy Matters, Meg.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Great to be here.
Well, first, let's talk about the event today. It's a ribbon cutting, a beautiful tent, 300 people here, people flying in from all over the world. And I know that you and your department did a lot of work to do this, but tell us what the big deal was about this today.
Sure, absolutely. Well, today marks the grand opening of the first in the whole world ethanol to sustainable aviation fuels plant. So LanzaJet is actually going to be able to take any source of ethanol and turn that ethanol into sustainable aviation fuel, which is a very big deal not only for the United States, but the world, and how aviation, an industry that is very hard to decarbonize, is going to be able to really begin the next generation of reducing carbon emissions and hopefully being sustainable.
Our audience knows I'm the founder of the Clean Energy Roadshow here in Georgia. I've had 7 electric vehicles. I've had 2 methane vehicles. I've had a propane van. And I've used E85 in 3 different state cars. So I love alternative fuel. But it is a challenge being able to do what y'all are doing right now. The first of its kind project. And it's really... besides a lot of partnerships, you've got to have somebody to buy the product. And I think finally we've got an aviation industry out there that's hungry for it.
Absolutely. And the aviation industry has been a leader in transportation on setting really ambitious goals to be net zero by 2050. And the United States as well has set some pretty ambitious targets. LanzaJet in particular has set the target of producing 1 billion gallons of sustainable aviation fuel by 2030. You know, I've been working in renewable fuels for about 16 years, starting at the Department of Agriculture and then at United Airlines working on aviation biofuels. And it's been incredible to see the evolution of this industry over that time period, and to see today happen and really see steel in the ground and be able to have a plant that will be starting to make sustainable aviation fuel, the first of its kind in the world here in Soperton, Georgia.
There's a lot of misconceptions about ethanol. I have, you know, plenty of buddies who have boats or weed eaters or lawnmowers, and they complain about what ethanol might do to those hoses. But I tell them, regarding flex fuel vehicles, I said, look, flex fuel vehicles are designed to run on this stuff. It's mother's milk to a flex fuel car to run on E85. More octane, cheaper, usually 30 cent a gallon cheaper. And folks are just unaware of what a resource it is. And oftentimes they're concerned about, you know, the use of corn. And I say, you know, it's just number two corn. This is not your Silver Queen corn that you're you know, putting on your grill. This is different. It's such an important part of the energy economy in the U.S.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm from Iowa, so I absolutely get that. Ethanol is an incredible molecule. And with our technology, what we're able to do is take any source of ethanol. So when I think about the opportunity here in the United States to take low carbon ethanol, and for us, that means a reduction of 50 points of greenhouse gas emissions relative to traditional fossil jet fuel. If we can hit those targets, that we can take any source of low carbon sustainable ethanol from things like energy crops, municipal solid waste, carbon off gases. So it's really amazing to see not only the versatility, the scalability of this technology, and it all starts with ethanol.
You know, think about this. I was talking to one of your employees earlier, and he was telling me that this plant initially will start on number two corn and sugar beets. And you're taking two pretty simple crops, and you're adding an incredible amount of intellectual property, brain power, and we met the chair today, and you're turning it into something that will run airplanes at 35,000 feet around the world. That's a pretty amazing thing.
It is pretty incredible to think about. And you know, transportation and aviation in particular is so critical to our society, our culture, abilities for families, communities, and businesses to connect. And we're going to continue to grow that industry. But in order for us to grow sustainably, sustainable aviation fuel is the single greatest opportunity for aviation to reduce carbon emissions. It'll be accounting for up to 65% of what overall aviation is going to be able to do to reduce carbon emissions.
You know, Georgia has received a lot of IRA money here, Inflation Reduction Act money. You think about SK Innovations making batteries, Q Cells making solar cells up in Dalton, the Hyundai plant, the Rivian plant, all of the battery building that we've got going on, and now this. Yeah. This is just adding to the portfolio of clean tech that we have in Georgia. And frankly, when I got elected in 2010, I never would have dreamed that we could go so far in Georgia and then it could be so profitable, so beneficial for our state.
It's pretty incredible when you think about clean energy and the impact that it can have, especially on these rural communities like Soperton. I worked in rural economic development, and the opportunity for sustainable aviation fuel in rural America is significant. You know, that's where this is going to start, in communities like Soperton across the United States. And the opportunity that I saw with ethanol to build and grow those rural communities exists for SAF to continue to support those communities now and into the future, and also strengthen new ones.
You know, I think that we often don't know what we don't know, and there's a lot of misconceptions, as I mentioned earlier, about ethanol. But in some ways, it's very magical because you can make it from so many different things. I mean, not just sugar beets and corn, but you can make it from wood. You can make it from switchgrass. You can make it from, you know, pine trees. It can be made in so many different ways, and it's really a very powerful fuel. Tell me where you're going with this.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is just the start. So here at Freedom Pines Fuels, we will be producing 10 million gallons a year of sustainable fuels. That's 9 million of sustainable aviation fuel and 1 million gallons of renewable diesel. And we have projects that we've announced all over the world, from places like the United Kingdom, Europe, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, India. So we are growing significantly and have already announced over 300 million gallons of production capacity and plan more.
If you're just joining us, Meg Whitty, VP of Corporate Relations and Marketing with LanzaJet. We're here in Soperton. If you go down I-16 from Macon heading to Savannah, about halfway in between, you run into Soperton, just a couple miles off the expressway. Meg, as you think about the renewable diesel piece of what you do, and I mentioned this in my remarks today, we've got a lot of data centers coming to Georgia. Microsoft was here.
Yeah.
Their logo was on your banner. And I had the Microsoft rep tell me today that, look, we love what they're doing here because we're running their renewable diesel in our backup generators. And for folks that are on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or anything else that's using a data center, data centers have 100% backup. So if they're using 50 megawatts of power, they have 50 megawatts of backup. And that backup is 99% of the time diesel. And LanzaJet is providing a renewable diesel to these companies so that they can meet their clean energy goals. And frankly, the benefit is the air that we breathe here in Georgia.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with technologies like AI, you're going to continue to see the growth of these massive data centers. And so when you have renewable diesel and fuels like it, you can really ensure that as these technologies grow and scale, that we're able to continue to do it sustainably.
Your CEO, Jimmy, spoke today, very inspirational, told about his time in the White House working for George Stephanopoulos and at 19, and he's just a young 48 years old. He's really an inspirational guy, isn't he?
He really is. Yeah, I started working for Jimmy actually about 12 years ago in 2012 at United Airlines. He hired me from the Department of Agriculture where I was working on renewable energy policy and rural economic development. And I had the opportunity to work with him for about 5 years at United and saw incredible leadership and always the drive to think bigger, to do more. And you see that in what LanzaJet does today. And I'm so proud to be a part of this company and what we're doing. And today is an incredible representation of that.
You would really have to be here to understand what a significant event this is, because Soperton is in the middle of nowhere, and this fancy tent and air-conditioned tent and stage and people just from all over the world, executives from British Airlines and people from, I just met a guy from Australia. I mean, people have come here from all over the world.
They have. You know, we actually lining our, in front of our main structure of our plant, we have about 25 flags represented from 5 different continents, representing all of the people that we work with all over the world. Because this is a global industry, because aviation has to be united across the world, it starts everywhere. But the crazy thing about today and the exciting thing about today is, for today, it starts here in Soperton, Georgia.
Just one more thing before we go. I co-chair the Hydrogen Energy Brain Trust here in Georgia as well, and I had to notice the electrolyzers that you have over here, and you are producing your own hydrogen. How cool is that?
It's pretty cool. I mean, the thing that we try to do here at LanzaJet is find new ways to continue to be more efficient and more sustainable. And, you know, building the first of anything isn't easy, but as we have great teams and partners working with us to ensure that we are doing it as sustainably as possible.
Well, how can folks find out about LanzaJet and all the good work that you're doing?
Absolutely. Look, we are on social media, Twitter, LinkedIn. You can go to our website at LanzaJet.com, LANZA.com, to learn more about what we're doing.
Well, thanks for joining us today. It's a fantastic day for Georgia. Yet another first-of-its-kind business coming to our state. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Hope you join us every week. You can always go to your favorite place to get podcasts and search for Energy Matters with Commissioner Eccles and subscribe. Thank you to my loyal listeners. And I hope you have a fantastic weekend. You've been listening to Energy Matters.
Logan Booker here, producer of Energy Matters, and I want to tell you about the Advanced Power Alliance. For more than 20 years now, the Advanced Power Alliance has been leading the energy transition in America's traditional energy states. They advocate for wind energy, solar power, and energy storage, all while partnering with traditional resources to ensure that America has abundant, affordable, cleaner energy to power our homes, our lives, as well as our economy. With the growth of solar and advanced storage and power generation technologies, every state now has the opportunity to be a leading energy state. Advanced Power Alliance is proud to partner with the Georgia Large Scale Solar Association and work with the Public Service Commission, Georgia Power, and their customers as Georgia continues to be one of America's leading renewable energy states. You can learn more about the Advanced Power Alliance at poweralliance.org. That's poweralliance.org.
Having a family member or close friend in crisis is something we have all experienced. North Point Christian Counseling can help. Whether it's marriage counseling or a loved one struggling with abuse or addiction, North Point Christian Counseling has counselors in Macon, Athens, Kennesaw, and Albany to help bring healing and recovery. To find out more, call 478-973-9358 or find them online at northpointcounseling.org. That's 478-973-9358 or northpointcounseling.org.